morning, Texas. Program number 3 this morning. How is your cup of goodness doing? We just haven't even really got started. We've been doing introductions. I kind of introduced you to the website and some more things I'll introduce to you as time goes on. But this morning, let's just jump right into what you may have heard, may not have heard. That's rightly dividing. Let's look at your book there, your Bible. Hope you got one with you there. And let's look at 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. And we'll answer these today, not like the ones yesterday, which I didn't answer them, but they will be answered all in due time. But this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's that phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that deal with? What is going on? Now, you'll find some King James preachers out there that they say that they'll rightly divide, and based on the school that they went to, based on who their main guru teacher is or whatever, they will go through the scriptures and they will say, well, this verse deals with the millennium. Well, this verse deals with today. Well, this little section here, this deals back in the Old Testament. This verse here, well, half of this verse is the tribulation, half of this verse is today. And that is not at all what this is about. This is tremendously simple. And it opens up your Bible to a book of no contradictions, no confusion. You'll know exactly what God is saying to you as a Christian. You will know what He's saying to you as a woman, as a wife, as a teenager, even a child. You'll know exactly what God is saying to a man, to a husband, to a father. So this is spectacular stuff, and it is not complicated. It's just majorly simple. So, let's look at this morning a little bit here. So, when it says here, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, let's say that we don't know what rightly dividing the word of truth means. Verse 16 tells us what's just the opposite of that. So, if you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, there you are. If you're not going to rightly divide the word of truth, then you're going to have profane and vain babblings. Verse 16. And those profane and vain babblings will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word, who is their word? That's the people that are not preaching and teaching, rightly dividing the word of truth. Their word will eat as doth a canker. Ever had a canker sore? Oh. Disastrous, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Okay? So what we see here, if you're not rightly dividing your scriptures, which is the word of truth, we don't have time to go through the references that show all that, but this word, the scriptures, your Bible, is the word of truth. And you already do divide in some fashion. You've got Old Testament, New Testament. You know that you're not going to build an ark for your salvation. You know that you're not going to follow the laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Well, why not? Well, that's history, and that was geared to the Jews. Yes, it was. Did you ever stop and think that what God gave Moses on Mount Sinai was not given to the Gentiles? The Gentiles were called the heathen in the Old Testament. God did not expect that from the Gentiles, from the heathen. Those were the laws that were given to the Jews. Never thought about that, have you? I hadn't for quite a while. So does that mean we don't have to follow the laws, at least the Ten Commandments? Well, I didn't say that. What we look to here is we look to Paul. And see, Paul describes, he mentions 9 of those commandments in his teachings about how to please God. 9, not the 10. Now I'm getting on, see, here I go on my money trails already. Yeah, he didn't mention one commandment. There's one commandment Paul left out that we don't have to follow today. What is it? Did I hear somebody say, well, which one is that? Well, I'm going to save that for the next program. going to see if you can figure that out. Just go back to the Ten Commandments in Exodus and read through those things and see which ones of those, which one of those, we don't have to follow today. So let's get back on the trail. So you see the dividing of the truth that's already taken place? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you were to go to 1 John, which a lot of people do because it's what they call the love book, you know, and there's that classic up there, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that true? Does confession make you a Christian? Does confession make you saved? Does confession make you forgiven? Well, that's what it says there. Let's look at 1 John still. Let's go down here to chapter 2, verse 20. You've heard this prayed before, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So if you're praying for an unction from God, for your pastor to have an unction from God, then he should know all things. He should know what he needs to know to preach that sermon. Well, he went to his Bible. Well, not many preachers go to their Bibles anymore, but yes, if you're going to preach what God has to say about something, you've got to go to your Bible. So, does God just give you this unction just out of the blue? Well, it says so. Yeah, it does say that. How about verse 27, chapter 2, verse 27? You know, people pray for the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. This is what an anointing is. There's nothing that anybody can teach you. There it is. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Is that the way that... Does anybody have that anointing today? Well, I know there's a lot of people that claim that. There's a lot of people that think their pastor's been given that. Now, Small Bunny Trail, your Bible may not say what I'm reading. I'm reading from a King James Bible. These words have been around for over 400 years. They've always worked, and they still work. And this is where God is at. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. Let's look here at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Well, since you've been saved, have you committed any sin? Have you done anything wrong? Well, that means you're of the devil. Look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Is that how that works today? Look at verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Wow. These are some pretty powerful things here. Well, here, let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. What are you showing? I'm showing you something here that you may never have considered. Hebrews chapter 6. If you read through Hebrews chapter 6, you will find out that you can lose your salvation and not get it back. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. They're not going to be able to do that. It's impossible, it says. Well, how can that be? Let's go to Matthew. Let's go over here to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. I think it's in chapter 5. The Beatitudes. Yes, I'll just pick on one of them here. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Really? So, in order to be a child of God, you need to be a peacemaker. You know, love all, flowers and the end of guns and that sort of a thing, I suppose. Peacemaker. And I could go on and show you some things that, well, people do tend to believe that that's true. All these things that I showed to you were probably true, but they are. They're true in a certain point of time. As the Bible calls that, a dispensation. Well, see, here comes this Paul guy. And he says things like, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. He says, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Well, what is he referring to, more excellent way? What is going on here? Let's look at Acts 13. What is he talking about here? Acts 13. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth this morning. We're looking at Acts 13. Check my time. We're getting there here. For so hath the Lord commanded us, Paul and his crew there, say, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Oh, so now Paul's the one that's been selected by God to go out unto the ends of the earth and be the light for salvation. Paul's the man now. Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting here. Let's look at Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 24. Okay, here we go. Acts 18, verse 24. Now, this story was kind of, it's a little story that will explain to you there's a difference. Okay, and you'll see it. Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, that's Egypt, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. That's good. Knowing only the baptism of John. See, that's the Gospels. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, good for him, whom with Aquila and Priscilla, or Aquila and Priscilla, had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Really? See, perfect in the scriptures is not referring to errorless. We know that the scriptures, for example, are errorless. But let me show you something about when he says expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. Let's look at, I got to find my quick reference here. Come on now, I know it's here somewhere, 13. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. And let's let this Bible define the word perfect. 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 16. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared until the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. Perfected means finished. You clean up your office, you clean up your house, you clean up your den, and you stop and you get all done and you say, I'm finished, perfected, you're perfect, it's perfect, you're done, it's completed. That's what we're talking about here. What we're looking at here, Acts 18:24 again, there we go, verse 26, they took him unto them, expounded unto him the way of God, more finished, more completed, more perfect. I'm not changing the word. Perfectly is the word it needs to be. But they have more to tell Apollos now. Well, what's there more to say? What's more to say, Christ died and was buried and rose again. And he went to Paul. Remember Acts chapter 9. We'll go over that sometime. And said to Paul, Paul, you're going to go off to the Gentiles and here's my purposes, here's my goals, objectives for you, which we will cover here one of these days. And that is the way of God more perfectly. In fact, I can't think of the reference right now. I don't want to take the time to look it up on such a short time basis here. But if you go into the Gospels, you will find that Jesus taught the way of God. But you find out in Paul's books that Paul teaches the way of God more perfectly. Does it mean better than what Jesus did? No, it means there's more now to the whole story. The way of God and now is off to the Gentiles. That's us, by the way. Romans chapter 11. We'll get to those. Oh, there's so much to talk about here. But, so this Apollos guy found out that there's stuff beyond the baptism of John. That's the risen Savior. That's teachings from the risen Savior. Everybody believes that Jesus Christ died and rose again, but in almost all churches today, they teach the doctrine of Jesus before he died and rose again. That's the Gospels. So after he died and rose again, there's a more excellent way, 1 Corinthians 12:31. That's Paul. Paul teaches us what the risen Savior has taught to Paul, and it's absolutely spectacular. Paul is the only one that talks about the goodness of God. The King James Bible is the only Bible that has the goodness of God referred to. And it's the way of God more perfectly. Okay, so that's kind of a generally quickened explanation, a beginning of rightly dividing the word of truth. What are you talking about, Paulson? I'm sure people are asking that. My pastor teaches rightly dividing. I've never heard it explained like that. Well, you just give me a couple days. I'll show you some things that'll just spark your thinker. Now, look at it this way if you don't understand what I'm trying to say here, anybody. Let's say you are the one in charge in an apartment complex. You've got 100 apartments. And you were the only one that's allowed to go down to the mailboxes where they're one big gigantic, pile. And you get everybody's mail for them, including your own. Now, in this box of mail that you have, most of that mail isn't written to you. It's not your name's not on there. It's not addressed to you. But there are some letters in there that are addressed to you. So the ones that you want are the ones that are addressed to you. Now, all the mail in that box, that's your job, is to go down and get all that mail. All that mail is for you, because you've got to go down and get it. But not all of that mail is to you. Now, if you were to read everybody else's mail, you would learn a lot about all the other people in your apartment complex. You really would. You would learn, a myriad of things. I think that's the right word, myriad. And yet, what you really need to concern yourself with is your mail. Well, that makes sense. That's a pretty simple explanation. Okay, let's look at this Bible. This Bible, Genesis to Revelation, contains everything. This entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is for you. It's for me. If I read the entire Bible, which I strongly say people should do still, don't get me wrong here, like some people will in a minute, read the entire Bible. You will learn about the garden. You'll learn about the Abraham. You'll learn about the Israelites, where they came from. You'll learn how they had to live to please God, and if they couldn't, how they had to sacrifice. You'll learn about the laws that they had to follow. You'll learn all sorts of things. But none of that's written to you. You'll get into the Gospels, and you realize that, there's some fantastic stuff in the Gospels. You'll learn about Jesus Christ, that God manifest in the flesh. You'll learn that. And yet Jesus teaches the Jews, don't take what I'm teaching you, do not take to the Gentiles. Okay, so they don't. Then you get to Peter. You get to all these apostles. Fantastic guys. They're apostles. But see, none of that stuff is to you. It's for us, but it's not to us. What's to us? Well, from the time Paul comes onto the scene, he teaches the Jews and the Gentiles, and he finally eventually goes to the Gentiles only. So what Paul writes, that's to me. That's to us. And then when Paul is done, you've got Hebrews, Jude, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That's not to me. I'll show you as time goes on. That's for me. You read those things, you'll learn all about the tribulation. You'll learn about what's going to be taking place here pretty soon, it seems. But that's none of that's written to me. All that stuff in 1st John, that's not written to me. That's written to the people during the tribulation. The Bible is in dispensational order. Well, Paul wrote Hebrews, didn't he? Yes, and I'll show you where that fits in the picture here. It's a fantastic, simple little thing. So what we have here is we have a Bible that needs to be rightly divided. You need to know in that Bible what's written to you. What's written to you, and is supposed to be preached and taught in every church, according to Paul, is what Paul writes. Because Paul is the man that Jesus Christ went to face to face. Now, again, I'm out of time already this morning, so that's just a tip of the iceberg. The website has it all in complete detail, but we'll talk about it some more. Just think about that illustration. You go down to get the mail for everybody, it's all there for you, but all you want for yourself is what's written to you. But if you read all that other mail, you learn about all these people. So you've got this Bible, you read the whole thing, but just concentrate your day-to-day application, your daily walk, and what was written to you, and that's from Paul. And Paul is the one that talks about the goodness of God, not the severity of God. Paul, the dispensation we're living in is the best one he ever could have had or ever will have had. Or ever could have. The dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 3. Fantastic stuff. So I'm just going to leave it at that. As much as I could go on and on and on for hours today talking about the goodness of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, these vain or profane babblings that are being babbled in the churches today, there's a serious deception going on. I can take you to Isaiah and Ezekiel, show you that the devil wants to be wants to imitate God, so he's trying to get people down in this world to imitate being Christian. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a marvelous stuff. Let's finish this up by looking to Paul one more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. This is where it all gets started with Paul, where Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." First of all, when Paul's referring to the risen Savior, he calls him the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Christ. That's referring to the risen Savior. When you go back into the Gospels, you'll see that most of the time Jesus is called Jesus. Jesus. And you will hear in Christianity today, most of the time, even in this world, the people can accept the word Jesus better than they can Christ. Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. So Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That's the risen Savior. If you look at Galatians chapter 1 for a moment, Galatians chapter 1, he says in verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." See, there it is again. "Unto another gospel." Which is not another, but there be some, because it's not really a gospel anyway, but as he says, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven," that's an interesting thought, "preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's marvelous stuff there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians again. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Here's Paul's biggest concern, see? When he says, verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." That was his fear. And then he says probably the greatest thing is in Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, in verse 9, where he says, "Those things which we have both learned, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," that's Paul, "do, and the God of peace shall be with you." It's not the peace of God, it's the God of peace. Paul is instrumental. He's not our Savior, but he is instrumental in our salvation. The Jesus we need to turn ourselves to and put our faith in to receive the faith of is the risen Jesus Christ. So as we would say, Paul's the man today. Paul's the one we should be listening to and following, not imitating, but following. So I will leave it at that. Pop a little music here for you. I hope you enjoy the music. It's just clean stuff. I enjoy it. It's the way it used to be. We'll see you at the next program.